Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. It is my normal course to share a devotional at the beginning of each of our hours together, but for this day, I have two very special guests. They have become very dear friends of mine. I had the privilege of meeting them at a conference recently in Alexandria, Virginia. They are part and parcel of a splendid ministry called CMJ-USA, the Church's Ministry Among Jewish People. And visiting with us today is the Reverend Corinho Casas, who is the executive director. She is based in Pittsburgh on the other side of the Commonwealth, and Mr. Jeff Roberts, the director of fundraising and partnerships. So, Corinho and Jeff, welcome to our broadcast.
Thank you so much, Brad, for having us.
Pastor Brad, thank you so much for having us on. It's a real privilege.
You are both entirely welcome, and it's going to be a lovely hour together. I would like, please, and whichever of you would like to go first, I mean, I'm a born and bred proper Bostonian, so I tend to like to defer to the ladies first, but I don't mean to sound chauvinistic. Why don't we go with Corinho first? Corinho, share with us, please, something about CMJ, just in general terms, and then we'll bring Jeff in as well.
Sure, Brad. CMJ, the Church's Ministry Amongst Jewish People, is the oldest of the Christian ministries engaging with Jewish people. We were founded in 1809 by a Jewish believer in Jesus named Joseph Levi Frey. And he comes to faith at the turn of the century, and he feels a missional call. And he actually trains to be a missionary in Africa. He's going to head to South Africa. And then he realizes, he's like, why am I going so far away when my own Jewish brothers and sisters have not yet heard about Jesus as Messiah? And so he ultimately begins CMJ. It was originally called the London Society for Promoting Christianity Amongst the Jews, because that's how you named mission societies in the 19th century.
To put it mildly, multi-syllabic.
Yes. So from starting in London, CMJ then moves into Jewish communities in greater Europe, and then ultimately into North Africa and into the Middle East. And we get to Jerusalem in 1824. Last year, CMJ Israel celebrated its 200th anniversary, and we established the first Protestant church in all of the Middle East, Christ Church Jerusalem. It's in the Old City. It's just as you walk in the Jaffa Gate, for those who have been to the Holy Land. And we're currently in Canada, we're in Ireland, United Kingdom, South Africa, Australia, France, and Australia. Did I say Australia?
And in reading your website and the literature that I received when we were together, you opened your first American office, I think, in 1982?
So it's actually the second American office. Yes. Hmm. So this iteration of CMJ has been in the United States since 1982. Hmm. We actually were established in the late 1800s. And actually, we were in the Philadelphia area.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And I should have refreshed myself on some of that history. But there was another Christian agency reaching out to Jewish people in the Philadelphia area. And actually, when that one folded, they gave the rest of their proceeds that they had left. They actually gave them to CMJ at the time. But then CMJ petered out right before World War I. And then we were reestablished.
I am intrigued by the London origins. If I'm not mistaken, the gentleman who founded CMJ, Mr. Frey,
yeah.
Frey, came out of Prussia. You know, I'm a student of history, and I was just literally yesterday afternoon reading a biography of Napoleon by the great British historian Andrew Roberts. And he was discussing how Napoleon, though he didn't have on a personal level much regard for our Jewish brethren, he was more enlightened than other European statesmen by way of policy towards the Jewish population. But in England, it wasn't until 1858 that the first practicing Jewish man was allowed to become a functioning member of the Houses of Parliament. I mean, 1858, Mr. Frey was beginning his work some 40 years prior to that. So he had his work cut out for him, to be sure. Jeff, please, I'd love for you to, anything you'd like to add to what Carino has offered to date?
Well, I'd like to share with your audience first that I am a Jewish believer. I did not grow up with the Lord. In fact, my father came over from Europe just prior to when the Holocaust occurred. Otherwise, we would not be talking today. My father was raised by my grandfather, who was an Orthodox Jew. And as a young Jewish man, when I would go to the synagogue, it just felt alien to me because all the services were in Hebrew. The women sat separate than the men. It was just not something that ever connected. And through the amazing grace of the Lord, came to know him going on about 40 years now. And it's my great privilege to be involved both in the world of Messianic Judaism, which is the current term for what Jewish believers are called, but then also got involved with CMJ because they had spoken at our Messianic congregation here in Cleveland, Ohio, where I'm based. And I was always so taken with their tremendous love and sincere love for the Jewish people, their knowledge of the Jewish people. And as I started learning things about, as Grinio said, building the first church in the old city and then building the first school and the first hospital in what would one day become the land of Israel, I was just so impressed. And so I've now been with them for about a year and a half, and it's a dream come true. So pleased to be working with them and thrilled to be having this opportunity to talk a little bit about what CMJ is doing in the United States as our discussion goes on.
Well, Jeff, you sound like a seasoned veteran, even though a year and a half yet would still constitute rookie status, would it not?
Yeah.
And Carino, how long have you been serving as executive director?
So I've just started my third year as executive director. I've been with CMJ in some capacity for 11 years.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. You know, Jeff, a year and a half, Carino, 11 years in all. You speak of the first Protestant church being established courtesy of CMJ in the Holy Land. However, in reading your material, it's frightful. Much of the work of CMJ, at least on the continent of Europe, was wiped out because of the policies of Nazism and the Holocaust. That must have been, to say that was traumatic throughout the organization would be to put it again mildly.
That's right. So certainly the height of CMJ comes probably in the 1920s into the 1930s. We had churches and small groups all over Europe. We had a church in Warsaw with a pastor and a very vibrant community there. And all of that was lost, as you say, in the Holocaust. We lost churches, we lost whole groups of believers, we lost some of our workers to the Holocaust. And it was very traumatic into the 40s and 50s. CMJ was still headquartered in London, and all the other branches kind of came off of that. And they were contemplating, well, what do we do now? And one of the things that stuck out to them was 6 million Jews lost in the Holocaust. And at that point, there were 6 million Jews in the United States. And they realized we need to establish again in the United States. And it was a long process. It didn't really happen until the 80s, till A very enthusiastic leader arose in Dr. Teresa Newell, and she founded the U.S. branch in 82. But the U.S. continues to have the largest group of the largest population of Jewish people outside of the land of Israel. And so it's very important for the church here to realize that, and that we have so many Jewish neighbors among us, and they are the people that have safeguarded the scriptures for us, and we need to remember that as we engage with them.
Yes, and you know, I want to say something on a personal note before we turn to our first break. I am a Welshman by ethnicity. I was raised by my Welsh family in Boston. We were raised to believe that God made the world and then he made Wales to show what he could truly do, you know. But for some reason, and I can't make the connect the dots, but we've always believed, the Welsh love to believe, and this is a tipping of the cap to our Jewish brethren. We love to believe that we are the lost tribe of Israel. So all the more, on a personal note, the work that you and Jeff are doing is so meaningful to me. That being said, Brad Lacey with the Reverend Carino Casas and Mr. Jeff Roberts of CMJ USA, we return with the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I am joined afresh by Mr. Jeff Roberts, who is the Director of Fundraising and Partnerships, the Reverend Carino Casas, the Executive Director of CMJ USA, the Church's Ministry Among Jewish People. And as I'm on your website and reading your brochure, I love, I'll call it your ministry or mission statement, proclaiming Yeshua the Messiah, a light to enlighten the nations, and the glory of God's people Israel, building bridges with our Jewish neighbors. That's a very beautiful arc, if you will, under which you're operating. Then I look to your mission statement, by which you endeavor to equip individuals and local congregations, number one, to fight anti-Semitism, number two, to understand the value of the Jewish roots of our Christianity, number three, to have authentic conversations with Jewish neighbors about our common and our differing beliefs and convictions, and number four, to encourage and support the body of Messiah in Israel. Now, we can discuss those items on matters of principle, and we can do that, but I would first like to address how you go about it by way of the nuts and bolts. You have a number of programs and resources that you bring to the table. Jeff, if you could begin to address that, we'd be obliged.
Yes, thank you so much. The Jewish people have been raised to believe that Jesus is not for them. So it's an alien concept to them. And because many of us have lost relatives during the Holocaust, regrettably, in many cases, the feelings toward the Christian community by the Jewish community are not all that favorable. And yet, as Carino alluded to earlier, there are more Jewish people in the United States than anywhere else in Israel. I believe there's somewhere around 7.5 million people. And they all need to know at least that that Jesus, who we refer to by his Hebrew name, Yeshua, is the Messiah that they've been seeking for so many years and don't realize that he has come. So I know as a Jewish man, when I was growing up, I had virtually no contact at all with the Christian community. And yet in many, many churches throughout the United States, there is a deep and abiding love for Israel and the Jewish people. So, for example, in thousands of churches, there are Christians who are, and probably some people who are listening to this broadcast, who are praying for their Jewish neighbor, friend, coworker, family member, employer, acquaintance, whoever it is, because they have a love for the Jewish people and sincerely want them to know Yeshua as their Messiah. But they almost never step out in faith and talk to those individuals because they don't feel they have the knowledge, the skill, how to do it. It's very scary and frightening and so forth. So CMJ works and partners through the church because it is the church and the people within the pews who have the connections and relationships with the individual Jewish people around the United States. So what we're trying to do is equip both churches as well as individuals with the tools they need to speak in a respectful and an effective way to their Jewish neighbors and friends, to make it less scary and much more productive. So we have a variety.
Well, Jeff, may allow me to interject. Oh, please forgive me. In what you're sharing, you're approaching this from the vantage point of being yourself a Jewish believer. I'm intrigued by the fact that, Carino, you obviously are not of Jewish extraction. You would be more of Hispanic or Latino. So if I may, and Jeff, I'm going to come right back to you, but I think this is a very profound interlude, if you will.
Yes.
What may I ask, what drew you into working with and on behalf of Jewish people and of the Jewish faith?
Yes. So I am a Hispanic, Mexican-American from the Southwest, and actually many Mexican-Americans in that part of the country are discovering that they actually have Jewish heritage, because the Inquisition followed the Jews who came over to North America, and they were fleeing, and a lot of them end up settling in what is the Southwest. And despite some DNA hints that there is Jewish parentage somewhere in my line, I grew up a Christian Mexican-American. So the way I get drawn in is I grew up in the church, Christian school, have had the privilege of knowing the Lord since I was very young. But in my 30s, after a very spiritually dry time, I was looking for something to study. I ran across a Bible translation called The Complete Jewish Bible by a Jewish believer named David Stern. And when I read Matthew in Stern's translation of The Complete Jewish Bible, I felt like I was reading the gospel for the first time. I was seeing things I'd never seen through my Gentile eyes. He was, the translation, and it's on Bible Gateway. For those who've never engaged with this Bible translation, you can look at it for free on Bible Gateway. It's called The Complete Jewish Bible. Pull it up with your favorite English translation and just see the differences in how Stern translates things in the gospel. Some simple things, such as just putting Jesus's name back into Hebrew, Yeshua, and putting the disciples' names back into Hebrew, Matiyahu instead of Matthew, for instance. But other places where he unpacks some of the stuff that goes over our heads. And so I ended up going back and getting Stern's commentary. David Stern's a fascinating figure I'd love to talk to at another point more about. But he writes what is called the Jewish New Testament commentary. And I went through the Gospels with Stern. And the other thing he does is he bolds all the places the Hebrew scriptures are quoted in the New Testament. He bolds them out. And so you get to see how much Jesus and the disciples and Paul are actually quoting from the Hebrew scriptures. And this caught my attention. And so then I asked the question of the Lord, why do most Jewish people not recognize Jesus as the Messiah when the gospel writers have laid out the case quite convincingly? Why can I, as a Mexican American who grew up on the border with Mexico, see this, and why can't they? And this started for me a time of prayer and intercession. And then the Lord started me on an adventure that I'm still on.
So if I may make the comparison betwixt the two of you, Jeff, you are coming to the table of this ministry as a man who was raised up within the Jewish heritage.
Yes.
And Carino, you are coming to the table as a woman whose Christian faith deepened by your exposure to, if you will, a Jewish contextualized Bible and commentary. So, Jeff, I would imagine for you, this is a beautiful partnership.
It really is. Your readers need to understand that in many cases, Jewish people do not read the Jewish scriptures at all. And they for sure don't read the New Covenant scriptures. And within the church, within the temple, rather, there is a series of readings, the parshas of the week, the portions of the week. And in the traditional synagogue, they will read, for example, Isaiah 49, Isaiah 50, 51, 52, skip Isaiah 53, the wounded Messiah passage, and go on from there. So our Jewish brothers and sisters, and I'm very proud to be Jewish, but it wasn't until that I, much like the experience that Perino had, it is almost prohibited and something you would never consider doing to actually, if you're Jewish, read the New Testament. But when I open, it's a long story, we don't have time for it today, but the very first time that I opened up the New Testament and I started reading, Pastor Brad, I was flabbergasted. Everything I was reading was Jewish. It connected with me. Yeshua is called a rabbi. All his disciples are Jewish. He's spending much of his time in temples teaching. One thing after another, he's quoting all these and fulfilling dozens, if not hundreds, of messianic prophecies from the Old Testament. My jaw dropped, and it just is so painful to know that our Jewish brothers and sisters don't know these things. And so I'm very, very passionate at making sure that they at least have the opportunity to hear for themselves. And there's a greater opening than I've seen in a long time, in part because of things like the program The Chosen, which portrays the Jewishness of the Lord for the first time I've experienced it. And so, yes, we come at it from a different place. But we meet in Yeshua, Jesus.
It's a beautiful compliment. It really is. I praise God for it. We do need to take a break. Brad Lacey, Mr. Jeff Roberts, and the Reverend Cuninho Casas, we return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Returning afresh with the Reverend Cuninho Casas, who is the Executive Director, and Mr. Jeff Roberts, who is the Director of Fundraising and Partnerships for CMJ USA, the Church's Ministry among Jewish People. Jeff, you began the earlier segment with, you started to address the nuts and bolts of CMJ, what you actually do by way of content. I'd like you to pick up afresh, please, with that course of thought.
Thank you, Pastor Brad. Again, what we are interested in doing is working and partnering with the church and individual Christians to help them understand the Jewish roots of the faith and much more. Now, to do that, we've created some unique materials that are available. We'd be delighted to send to people if they have an interest. So, for example, we have something called the Jewish Christian Couples Handbook. There are more than 1 million Jewish Christian interfaith couples in the United States. I happen to be in one. We all have enough challenges with our standard relationships. But if you can imagine being in a relationship with two different faiths, it'd be the equivalent, not to get political, but having a Democrat and a Republican in the same marriage. It's not easy. And so we have created some materials to help churches know how to locate, reach out to, and minister to Jewish Christian interfaith couples. We have some other pieces as well. For example, we have a piece called The Secrets of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which is a fascinating article that talks about the history of the scrolls, how they tie into the creation of Israel. It's an incredible backstory for that, and it is something that your audience could give to a Jewish friend, and it will gently introduce them to the Jewishness of the Lord. For those that have been praying for Jewish neighbors, friends, coworkers, you know, next-door neighbors, we have something called How to Talk to Jewish People About Jesus. It's very practical, easy to follow and use. It is something that teaches people how to be respectful and effective as well. We also do teaching, and we are looking for churches in the Philadelphia area who might have an interest. Cuninho could talk more about some of the topics that we would teach at. We're also coming out with a dinner and discussion series that would be similar but different than Alpha, because it would be more comfortable for someone who is Jewish and is intrigued and open to the Lord to attend. So we have many, many different tools and resources that are available to the church and individuals. We would be delighted to send them. If anybody has an interest, they can reach out to me or Carino, but they can request the resources at resources@cmj-usa.org, and we would be delighted to send those. There's no cost whatsoever. So thank you for asking.
Jeff, I will have you articulate that address afresh at the end of the broadcast as well. You know, you mentioned, if I may, the issue of how to talk to Jewish people about Jesus. That is so important. You know, I was disheartened yesterday when we learned that the Pope had passed away. A number of evangelicals went public on social media, basically excoriating Francis, calling him a demon because of some of his more socially liberal positions, with which I don't concur. One person was even reveling in the fact that by his or her estimate, Francis was now in hell.
Oh, my God.
I found it to be very abrasive, unnecessary, and frankly, abominable.
Yes.
That evangelicals could be so cold-hearted. The millions upon millions of Catholics who are mourning the loss of their spiritual leader. There was just no place for this kind of response. Sometimes we're bulls in china shops. I've seen this with many an evangelist as well. No disrespect to the calling or the giftedness of the profession. So when we're dealing with our Jewish brethren, I should think that we have to be all that much more sensitive given the history at play.
Yes, if I may.
Please.
Brad, you are correct. There is a book called In Communion with Messiah by a Russian Orthodox monk named Lev Gillet, and he was a Frenchman. And what's astounding about this book is that he wrote it in 1942 in the middle of the war, just as Europe was starting to maybe get an understanding of what was actually happening in Poland and in Germany. And he points out, he is reminding the Christians of the World War II, and it's still a message for today, that the history of Christianity and Judaism is so full of really violent interactions. And as you said, just egregious and cold. And so he actually culminates this with, we cannot approach the Jewish people as if our hands were clean. And some people will kick against this and say we're trying to do this group guilt. And it's not that. It's, we may not have anti-Semitic thoughts and feelings towards our Jewish neighbors, but we are part of a global universal church that is eternal, and we're all stepping into this eternal group of people. Yes. And everything that has happened in church history reflects on us.
Yes.
So when we approach a Jewish person with the message of Jesus, they may be remembering that their family was forced out of Russia by the pogroms that were led by the Orthodox Church of the time. They may remember that they fled Spain because of the Inquisition that was led by the Roman Catholic Church at the time. They may know that Luther, a good Protestant, really important theologian, wrote some heinous, heinous anti-Semitic screeds at the end of his life that were then used by Hitler and his minions to justify the Holocaust to the German people. And so we need to keep all that in mind and understand that that's what a Jewish person sees when we come with the gospel.
I might also add two thoughts. Number one, as an old movie buff, you can go back to 1947, a film with Gregory Peck entitled Gentleman's Agreement. And he was a newspaper reporter who wanted to do a piece on anti-Semitism that was amongst basically mainline Protestant Christians. And so the idea was to present himself as a Jewish man. And all of a sudden, the tone changed towards him on the part of everyone with whom he dealt. It's a frightening expose. I also think of, you spoke of the gentleman coming out of World War II in France, the great Simone Weil, a Jewish philosopher who befriended a Roman Catholic priest during the war. She had a spiritual experience, an encounter with Jesus Christ through the poetry of the great George Herbert of the 17th century. Remarkable. It's an extraordinary story. But she would not officially become a Catholic because of what she called the patriotism. And by patriotism, she felt a theological pride. And so whenever we're operating outside of the framework of the agape, the holy and sacrificial love of Christ, NASA, we have a problem, right? You know?
Yeah.
Look, one more segment to go. This does fly. Brad Lacey, the Reverend Curinho, forgive me, Casas, and Mr. Jeff Roberts of CMJ USA, we return in a moment. Brad Lacey, returning with one final round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Joined afresh by the Reverend Carino Casas, who is the executive director, and Mr. Jeff Roberts, the director of fundraising and special projects for CMJ USA, the church's ministry amongst Jewish people. I might just add the personal aside, Jeff, with the last name of Roberts, you must be a Welshman.
Well, way back in the day, it was Rothberger. So, my dad changed that before I was born.
Well, as I said, we believe we're the lost tribe of Israel, so the connection is there.
There you go.
Right? Absolutely. Look, I'd like to talk with you both, please, and whichever would like to go first. What is the impact that you're experiencing? I mean, on the Jewish side, on the Christian side, How is it working? Are you making inroads? Are you going up against obstructions? Is there indifference? What's happening?
So the war, the Gaza-Israel war, has actually opened up the conversation in some places and blocked us in others.
Yes.
It's the question of the Jewish people in the church is often tied to the state of Israel, and assumptions are made about political leanings and such things. And so that's one of the things we have to overcome with some Christians who rightfully have compassion on the Palestinian people and their suffering, but have decided to pick a side.
Yes.
One of the messages that I strive to do is, no, we are followers of Jesus the Messiah, who loves all the nations, and he is suffering with the Palestinian people as much as he is suffering with the Israeli people. And so that's one issue. But the rising anti-Semitism, once we start to point it out to the church, people want to learn more. But people have to be paying attention. It's not always reported in mainstream media. And so one of the things that I encourage Christians to do is to read Jewish media to understand how they see the world. And also they report things amongst their communities when a synagogue is tagged or a Jewish person is attacked on the way to Sabbath dinner. That stuff's getting reported in Jewish media and is not being reported necessarily in mainstream media. And so once people have an awareness, or if they have a Jewish friend, then they're more interested in hearing about the Jewishness of Jesus.
Well, if I may, I want to turn to Jeff. My limited experience, we're all creatures of finitude, you know, time and space, we have our limitations, our horizons. I have a deep heart, for instance, for our persecuted brethren.
Yes.
And I find that the preponderance of churches seem abysmally ignorant, and by ignorant I simply mean lack of knowledge, seem abysmally obtuse and ignorant to what's playing out amongst Christians elsewhere. I have this a similar sense, not simply regarding our Jewish heritage, but also, if you will, the plight of our Jewish friends. Yes. There is an accent in the media upon the plight of the Palestinian peoples, and I'm not trying to minimize that at all. Jeff is a Jewish man. What is your sense of what's happening, courtesy of CMJ and at large in the world?
Yeah, anti-Semitism is very real, very, very much growing. There have been all kinds of statistics about the gigantic jump. You have anti-Semitism on college campuses. At the congregation where I worship, to be safe, we have to have two police cars out front. And it's a very real thing. On the other hand, when Jewish people hear and understand that some of their greatest friends are evangelical Christians who love and support Israel, that makes a very big difference. We did a event here in Cleveland, side by side with promoted by the Christian Church, Voices Against Anti-Semitism, where the two, the Jewish community and Christian community, came together in support against anti-Semitism. And one of the topics that we teach within the church is understanding the importance of the Jewish roots, talking about what churches can do against anti-Semitism as well. But it cuts both ways, and my heart does go out also to the Palestinians who are dealing with things that they shouldn't have to, and yet the church needs to help and stand up and fight against this terrible sin of anti-Semitism.
Carino, you are part of the Anglican fold, if I'm not mistaken. And I noticed when I went on to your website and looked at staff, there were several individuals from your board who are part of the Anglican Communion. What is your sense, if you will, denominationally? Clearly, there's a at least a core segment within Anglicanism that is very sensitive to the plight of our Jewish brethren. Do you find across the boards with denominations that there's something similar?
So what we're encountering, certainly in the Anglican Church, is, and this is the Anglican Church of North America,
as distinct from the Episcopalian Church. Yes, I understand. Yes. Right. And it's helpful for the audience to know that, so I'm glad you make the distinction.
No, we encounter the same thing where some people actually shun the conversation altogether just because they feel it's too political. I mean, we came out of a very politicized era from COVID and how people reacted to mask mandates and the vaccine, and then the war started. And that was just another thing that pastors had to struggle to keep their congregations together. So some people don't even want to talk about it. I've heard from some Anglicans here in the Pittsburgh area who asked for prayers for Israel and Gaza to be said from the pulpit, and the pastor said no, because he thought it was too political. And then we have others that do it openly from the pulpit. They don't have a problem. They know how to hold the balance. And so it just depends on the congregation. It also depends if those people are near Jewish people or if they've been already exposed to the Jewishness in the New Testament. And we think that's very powerful. It's just putting Jesus back into his Jewish context and connecting it with Judaism today starts to open up hearts and minds. And that's where we start.
Well, for me, simply as a foundational precept, by virtue of the fact that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was a man of Jewish extraction, to put it that way, is enough for me to be open in the very least to my Jewish brethren.
Well, and Brad, I would say he is Jewish for all eternity.
Yes.
He has Jewish DNA for all eternity. And I think too many times we say was, and the church needs to grapple with is. And what does that mean for our discipleship today?
I am grateful for the correction. It's important to understand. In fact, I was just sharing with my people that while the work of salvation was accomplished at the cross, Jesus is continuing as we speak to do his work. He's praying for us. He's preparing a place for us. He's getting ready to return.
Amen.
Jeff, you wanted to offer the address one more time before we take our leave.
Yes. Thank you so much, Brad, for this opportunity. If any of your listeners would like some of our free materials about Jewish-Christian couples, how to talk to Jewish people about Jesus, Secrets of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and many other things, they can send an email to resources@cmj-usa.org, and we'd be delighted to send out any of the materials that we have without cost.
Praise God. Thank you so much, both of you. We're out of time. Jeff Roberts, the Reverend Carino Casas of CMJ USA. We wish you God's grace and blessing in every way. Take care.